Hey there, hi there, ho there. This is Claire coming back with another podcast with Tyler Joseph Ellis. It's really not another one. It's just part two because we had a moment where we talked about Sondheim and also we chatted for 2 hours. So I was like, let me give you an hour of randomness and then an hour of Sondheim, which I don't think it actually really worked out to be a whole entire hour of Sondheim. So I apologize. You'll probably hear some things that are repeated in this podcast because cutting it was very, very strange. Another thing is that I totally meant to get this out earlier and then life happened. And this past week has been the busiest week that I have ever had since being here in New York City. And I wasn't even at my apartment for a little bit of it, because I was cat sitting. So I didn't even have the availability to record any of this stuff, or else I would have been recording on my phone. And I tried that. And it sounded so bad. And I didn't want to do that to all of you podcast listeners out there. I feel like you deserve good sounding, you know, audio for the podcast. Anyway, that's what this is. And I have nothing else to say because everything else is the same as the last podcast. So this is me and Tyler Joseph Ellis chatting Sondheim and Shakespeare. Enjoy. Okay, wait. So this is called I'll Drink to That.
Oh, great. Oh, cool. Great.
Show 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's like we're 30 minutes in. So this podcast, this great, podcast. Cool.
And I've never done this before because it's more fun to just like do this.
Oh, okay.
But someone was like, you should do a drinking game. And I was like, no. But because it is Sondheim and you are like literally one of the biggest Sondheim fans that I've ever met.
I really am.
And
yeah.
Known. What is, like, give me, like, anything about Sondheim. Just, like...
anything about Sondheim. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, for those listening, Stephen Sondheim recently passed. May his memory be a blessing. But he sort of revolutionized the American musical and the musical theater. He wrote such shows as Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd. He wrote the lyrics for West Side Story and Gypsy. He also did, you know, A Little Night Music and Passion and Follies and Company. It's many, many a show. And what's some interesting things about Sondheim that I can share with you? Well, he grew up with just his mom. His parents went through a divorce when he was younger. So he grew up just a little bit a ways, maybe like a mile away from Oscar Hammerstein, the second of Rodgers and Hammerstein. And his mom sort
this
of
like
being,
a Broadway history lesson.
Oh, it is.
I didn't know any.
You
of this.
Didn't know this.
No.
So his mom sort of being his mom wasn't the best woman. His mom sort of being a celebrity hunter, is his words. They sort of took, you know, Steve and Sondheim in under their wing because he didn't really have a father figure. So Oscar sort of became that, and thus began sort of a mentorship between Stephen Sondheim and Oscar Hammerstein II, who, if you know Rodgers and Hammerstein, did Sound of Music and Carousel and Oklahoma and South Pacific, et cetera, The King and I. And
I always forget that South Pacific is a show.
It
I've
is,
seen
it sure
like three
is.
Times.
It is indeed a show.
I forget.
It's
the
there.
The first time I saw it was with Carmen Cusack and...
Oh, yeah, in Chicago?
No, it was in Charlotte. She was on tour.
Oh, got it. I just assumed because I think she... Isn't she a Chicago girl? Am I wrong? I just remember she did Sunday in the Park with George, another Sondheim show in Chicago. And I love watching the clips from
I
that.
I want to see Sunday. Columbia's doing Sunday this year.
Oh,
this
really?
Semester.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
I love... It's my favorite of all of Sondheim's
I
work.
I don't know it. We did...
It's perfect. It's a perfect musical.
Wait, you sing? Oh, my God.
Wait, what? What?
So I'm producing, I don't even know what that term means,
sure.
But a show at 54 Below called In Harmony.
In Harmony.
It's, I great. Made that up because Jen Tepper was like, I need a name for the
oh,
show. And
sure.
I was like,
well,
this.
People like singing harmony.
Well, yeah. So that's the point. So the whole entire show is basically ensemble pieces.
Oh, fun.
Of like the most glorious harmonies that you can find on Broadway.
Oh, great.
And we're closing the show with Sunday.
I mean, it is the best. Yeah.
We are
better.
Doing the Billy Porter version of Sunday.
Okay.
It's slightly different. It's
great.
The same, but it's got a little bit like of
the swing
groove at the bottom.
Yeah,
like,
but is it the same one that Robbie Inspirational Voices did? It's mm-hmm. that one. Oh, that I one. Love that version. Yes, I was like, is that the Billy Porter
yeah,
version?
Yeah, I don't know who I'm going to get to sing like the lead line of it.
Yeah, sure.
But if you're interested in singing some
harmony, I mean, just give me the date.
It's July 18th.
Oh my God, that is so far away.
I know.
It is January 18th.
Do you know when I pitched that?
Oh my God, we're exactly 6 months out. That is so rich.
Do you know when I pitched that show?
When you pitched it?
Yeah.
Did you have to, like, in the fall of
like
last
November.
Year?
Yeah.
That's
and that was the first date they could give me.
Yeah. 54 Below. They're not messing around.
No.
They are booked out. I just bought tickets to my dear friend Henry Platt's concert that's coming up in March. And I'm like, God, this really put a dent, but I can't miss it. It's my friend doing a 54 Below solo show. But I'm like, oh, Lord, this is expensive.
My thing about 54 is you buy the ticket.
Yeah.
Plus the fees.
And then
there's
the minimum.
And then you have to spend the $25 minimum. And then everyone's like, Haswell Greens.
Oh, afterward? Yeah. It's like, oh, so we're going to Haswell Greens after? It's like, oh, my God. So I'm going to get tequila soda for $15.
Right.
Yeah. If you're listening and you're not from New York City and you're planning on moving here, you're going to completely understand what we're talking about within weeks of moving here. It becomes very clear.
Like that day,
you're going to go to 54 Below show and you're going to be like, oh, I spent my entire paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then we're also going out after. Awesome.
Awesome.
But I don't, it's fun. It's fun.
Well, I'm kind of hoping people start moving their stuff to Chelsea Table and Stage.
No, I think a few actually locations are, you know, there's Green Room 42. There's, you know, that more.
I've never seen a Green Room show.
You've never seen. It's Mm-mm. great. It's a great space. I used to work for a New York Musical Festival. Rest in peace. It went bankrupt. but they had a lot of programming there the summer I worked there. So I knew that space quite well. I think in recent years, more performing spaces like that. I think 54 had a sort of monopoly for a second.
Yeah. Well,
and that space isn't
like
even
historical
that old.
It has like it's
under Studio 54.
Well,
it's, yeah, a cool
you know,
space.
And it's like, how many people get to say that they performed where like Barbara Streisand, Cheetah Rivera, and Patti LuPone.
That's pretty
and
remarkable.
It's, you know, but.
And the acoustics in that space as a performer are so amazing.
Yeah,
I've performed
are.
There a couple times and I'm like, I've never sounded better in my entire life. For some reason, when you're on that stage, apparently it's known for this. Like, the acoustics of the space just make you sound delightful.
Well, and it's crazy because every show I've been to, performers are performers, right? We're like
yeah.
humans. But every single time I go there, I'm like, am I listening to a recording? Like,
isn't
what
that what it sounds like?
What in the world am I listening to? Because the way that they have their EQing for their mics,
They're popular for a reason, not just because it's
right.
a convenient performance
and they
space.
Have
like,
pretty good food.
The food, the drinks are amazing. I sort of miss them. They used to have a drink, God, I think called Rosemary's Turn, like a turn,
yes.
and they got
mm-hmm.
rid of it. And I'm like, why? Because I thought that one, the name was so clever.
Right.
And two, I was like, oh, I kind of miss this drink, but I'm going there probably a few times in the next couple months. And I'm excited. I always have an amazing time when I'm there.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And my other favorite thing is that there's not really a bad seat.
No, unless you're like sitting at the
right
bar.
Right at the stage.
I think the bar is so far away. I mean, if you want, part of why I love the space is because it's very small. Like
mm-hmm.
when I was watching all those clips online, like as you see, you know, your favorite performers,
famous
you know, whatever.
In my video.
And then I saw, yes. And then I saw if my first show, I think I maybe saw Kyle Dean Massey's solo show or something. It was something like that. And I was like, this space is tiny. It feels bigger when you're watching it from home. And then you arrive, yes, car going by.
You're
going
to hear that on the thing.
I hope you do. I hope you do. I love how intimate it feels. So the bar seating is maybe, but I think those are also the cheapest tickets. So it's probably
the
best.
And those are the $35 tickets.
Which is not cheap. Like $35.
No.
I spent that on a Broadway show.
Plus 25. So
yeah, plus 25.
Plus 25.
And you're like,
but that's
oh, God.
Why I like Chelsea Table because they have the same prices, but
there's no minimum.
Okay, so this is a lie. I went on the website and I think it says that there's like a two thing minimum. Like you have to get two items. Which probably still ends up... Actually, I think that's still cheaper than $25, though, sometimes. Anyway, but I do really like Chelsea Table and Stage. So, I am there quite often for Sam Pauly's shows. So,
and they have, like... The ambiance there is really nice. Have you been to Chelsea?
Once before.
Yeah, the ambiance is really nice. And after the show, there's a bar upstairs.
Love a bar upstairs. Love it.
I don't know what it's called, but
I don't know what it's called.
There every night. I'm pretty sure it's called Sandbar. I think that's what's called.
And they have a very nice view
of
I mean, it's not super high,
of
but
the
you can
some
see
of the city.
Some of the city.
Some of the some city.
Some of the really famous buildings. I've lived here for since
some
October
of the really famous. See, we're recording this from New Jersey, so
we are.
We're in a different state, actually.
You can see the city right there. It's right through there.
We are in a different. I'm from California, so the concept of just being able to really quickly get to another state is really foreign to me. So this is crazy. We're not New York.
It's okay.
Wait, are we playing a drinking game?
We could.
Is that what you were like setting up earlier? I'm like, wait, where are we going?
No, I didn't plan a single drinking
game. Oh, got
game.
It. Oh, that's why you asked about Sondheim. Mm-hmm. We were going to do a Sondheim drinking game. Should we talk about Into the Woods?
No, but that would have been so... Oh, yeah, we should because we saw that.
We both were there.
No, we should because I would be plastered if we played a Sondheim drinking game because I don't know a single thing about Sondheim.
Oh, so you would drink every time.
I own that one.
I see finishing the hat right
in front
of us.
I don't own the second one because I wanted to get...
Look, I made a hat is the second one.
I wanted to get that one, but I ordered that... Not realizing, one, how big that book was going to be.
It's a big book.
And two, I actually thought I bought like the online version of it. Because
oh, and then
I
it came physically.
And then it came physically.
You're
and
like, this is a heavy book.
And that has been sitting at my apartment for like 2 years. It's finally up here.
Oh my God, we made it. Finishing the hat.
And I've not opened it. It's
you haven't?
No, not
oh,
yet.
It's so cool.
It's sitting there. I have the script Into the Woods in there because
great.
I was going to like completely... like mark it up and everything.
Great.
And I am actually very afraid because in my brain I think about it and then I'm like, how I'm gonna need like 30 different colored highlighters
and
20
yeah.
different pens.
It's a
or
beast
just
of a show.
A script for every single character.
If you like Into the Woods, it's the same team doing Sunday in the Park with George. You should get to know that show.
I think I would really like Sunday in the Park.
It's I think it is my favorite musical. I think it is the best musical ever written. I think it is perfect. It won the Pulitzer Prize, which very few musicals have.
Very true.
And I just can't get enough of it. I think
see,
it's the best.
And hung if you agree.
But yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, I would love to teach a musical theater history course. I thrive on knowing Broadway knowledge.
I like musical theater history. I wish I had a
better teacher. I mean, it really does depend on who.
I
actually never took a musical theater history class in college
because
I was a theater major. I was a BA. Okay. I wasn't a BFA student. And then I minored in marketing in the School of Business. So all of my internships every summer were in marketing. So I, you know, worked for Alan Cumming first. Mm-hmm. I was his personal intern, which I guess had nothing to do with marketing, but I guess sort of did help a little bit, maybe.
Connections, getting to know
people.
Yeah,
getting to know.
Working with professionals.
And then I worked for a New York musical festival, as I mentioned before, on this very podcast. And then I worked for Walt Disney Studios for a year doing their field marketing internship.
Nice.
Because I went to school in LA, so it was obviously right there. But marketing ended up, and then of course now I'm in a career. Or part of my career is creating content online and marketing myself, which is so funny. So who knew? But no, I was not a BFA student, so I didn't have to take TAP. I didn't have to take musical theater history. I learned about musical theater history on my own. It was so fascinating.
I love musical theater history. Mm-hmm. My thing is I have to be really into it for me to care.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost everything, right?
But... I think I would be a great dramaturg.
Sure.
However, I would have to be on the right project, which would mean I probably would be making a lot of money because...
Yeah, because you'd
it's
be...
It's just so specific.
Yeah.
But I'm the person is like, if you give me, you know, if I have to write a paper about something and it's something that I'm really into, you're about to get a 10-page paper.
Oh, of course. I mean, easily.
And if I don't like it, I'm like, can barely write half page.
Yeah. That's why I was sort of... I was sort of going in when I was in high school and my later sort of 2 years of high school and really trying to figure out what I'm going to major in and what I sort of want to apply, what programs I want to apply to. I was lying to myself for so long being like, oh, I'm not going to study theater. I'm just going to maybe do it, maybe.
Yeah.
And then figured out, I'm like, no, I actually love learning about it. It's not just performing. I really like knowing, you know, everything about it. And now every book I read is some sort of biography or memoir or musical theater.
So like
history.
What's your dream job? Like what is your
I have a lot of dreams. I
as we all do.
I have a lot of dreams. I would say I would love to be a series regular on a comedy television show. That's like huge. Despite my love for theater, I do love being on, you know, film television. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a different beast and I love it. And after, you know, almost 3 years of doing online content and looking at my face and understanding, you know, that kind of thing, I think I and doing a few projects here and there, I really enjoy it, and I like
one
how
of them
it
being that 90s show.
That 90s show coming out tomorrow. I have two lines in one of the episodes, if you must know, which we filmed in July, which was so fun. But no, I would love to be in a Broadway show, but not just any Broadway show. Like I don't think I'd want to be in, you know, I'm not going to give an example. I don't want to, you know, like
jinx it. Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, but, I would in one of these, you know, Sondheim revivals and, you know, something that means a lot. If there's ever a revival of title of show, I'm like, make me a Jeff, please. It's like my favorite, one of my favorite things. So, you know, but I don't think it'll be just anything. I think I'm pretty specific. You know, everyone's like, why aren't you in the Book of Mormon? I'm like, I just don't, you know, think that show makes a lot of sense right now. And I don't want to like put my name on
it. Yeah.
But it was like my favorite show growing. I mean, I loved it. I thought that would be my Broadway debut. I was like, oh my God, well, I fit so beautifully in.
Right.
But I think it's going to be a different project. I think it's going to be something else. So that I love teaching. I would love to, you know, I really want to start a podcast this year. I was telling you that I think before we recorded. I don't know. I just kind of want to be, I like doing everything. I like writing. I have a pilot written about a drama program in college. And so, I mean, anything that anyone allows me to do, right. I'm like, help. So,
you should try and work with Audible and do like an audio theater thing.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I definitely would need to like write something else to be an audio medium, mm-hmm. a listening medium. Mm-hmm. But, no, I think I'm 24. I have a little bit of time to figure it out, but I just moved here in October into New York. So I'm hoping, you know, this year provides a lot of, you know, doors opening,
right.
that kind of thing. Wasn't the most well-elocuted.
There you go. Yeah. No, yeah, it works.
Elocuted?
Totally works.
Eloquated? Executed? I have one glass of wine in me and I can't speak. This is remarkable. Okay, continue.
This is great. Okay, wait. So we were both at, totally flipping gears. We were both at the final show of Into the Woods.
We were at the closing.
And I feel like we have to talk about that.
Oh my God, yeah.
First off, the fact that I didn't know I was at the final show.
That is remarkable to me that you had no idea that we were at closing because there were so many signs.
Well, my thing was I thought that there was an 8 p.m. show. Like, I thought we were a matinee.
There's never an 8 p.m. Sunday show.
I don't know.
There was for actually Old Man in the Pool, which I did see the closing of.
So I was going to say, you did see that.
Yeah.
But because it was, like, around holiday season, I had the
schedule's
going to
be off.
Yeah. The schedule I thought was still, like, kooky, crazy, off. This is what happens when I go see Titanic. I start using
Kooky, crazy. Oh, my. I was wondering if that's what you were referring to. Yeah.
Which, by the way, everyone should see it. I've seen it three
Titanic,
times tonight. Plan
it's
on
a
seeing
masterpiece.
It again.
It's
literally
so good.
My favorite show in the whole world. But yeah, let's talk about it.
Oh my God,
I don't know, where
did
we
even
start?
Begin? I've seen that production a few times, a handful of times now. I have some friends that are like, oh, I wish it wasn't so stripped down. I wish it was a full scale, you know, actual magic on stage. But I didn't mind it. I love the show because of the words and the music. Mm-hmm. So being able to see a full orchestra the entire time.
I loved being able to hear,
you know, all the words because that's what everyone's focusing on. There's no bells and whistles to distract you. It's mm-hmm. like you're really hearing some of these words really for the first time. And every single time I saw this production, I heard something I had never heard before. And I know Into the Woods like the back of my goddamn hand. I know that show.
Right.
But these performances, I mean, remarkable. Stephanie J. Block is the baker's wife. I also saw Sarah Bareilles, and both of them were just remarkable and were able to find things that I never knew you could find in Moments in the Woods.
Yeah. I was so pleasantly surprised with Sarah Bareilles.
Oh my God. She blew me out of the water. One of my favorite theatrical experiences last year. Like seeing her do that role was remarkable. Mm-hmm. I saw her in Waitress and she was incredible, but I was like, she wrote the thing. She, you know, so I'm like, she has some emotional connection to it. And then seeing her do a piece that meant so much to me. And I thought, you know, who could find things that I haven't seen in the show? I mean, I've seen it however many times, but damn, she did. Because I think that was her advantage, coming in, not being a theater person, being right. able to, you know, learn a piece like without any, you know, bias.
Well, and hearing the notes on the page is also crazy. And okay, so full disclosure, this is my first time ever with anything Into the Woods ever.
What?
I had not. I mean, I knew Into the Woods existed.
Yeah.
I had not seen the movie.
Oh my God. Or the filmed PBS version. Oh my God. So your first time seeing this production was your first experience with Into the Woods?
Pretty much. I had heard random songs. I knew Little Red stuff. I knew like random things. I actually auditioned for the like Broadway transfer. It was like a whole thing. And I guess I had seen the PBS thing, but it was because of this.
You got the audition for this production.
So I was like, yeah. So this was like what got me into the show. And it's really the only song. I also saw Company.
Yes.
Company was my first Sondheim anything ever.
The Broadway.
No, that's a total lie.
The most recent revival.
Well,
Sweeney Todd.
Technically, my first thing ever was Sweeney Todd. It was the PBS
airing
of it.
George Hearn, Andrew Lansbury.
And I was so young, and I walked in
at a
very bad time.
Yeah, there's
because
some
scalies. I was like, yeah, as like a seven-year-old, you're like, is happening.
Yeah, that's...
And so I didn't touch it.
Because you were scared, you were scarred.
And then I think I saw... Well, I saw West Side Story in Chicago. I saw Corey Cott and... I forgot who played Maria.
I feel like I should know who played Maria. I don't know who played Maria in that production. It wasn't Celia Pfeiffer because she did it at the Hollywood Bowl.
She's gorgeous though. She's amazing. It was beautiful.
Great.
But that was, I guess, the first like technical Sondheim thing that I saw, but it wasn't all Sondheim, I guess.
Yeah.
West Side Story is like a little...
West Side Story is just the lyrics.
Right.
Not just the lyrics, but you know, he did the lyrics.
So I saw the Company revival.
Yes.
Which is... all I knew about Company. I've seen that
video
of Raul Esparza singing
Being
Alive like a bajillion times because that's the only way you can sing that song.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And but I saw this version of Company, and I think because I am at the time was 22 and I was like, I don't know anything about... I walked in the show blind. I also unfortunately did not get to see Patti LuPone. She was out.
Ooh, got it.
But her understudy was
amazing. Phenomenal.
Or the understudy for... I guess we're like moving out of saying that. The understudy for that role was...
As opposed to her understudy.
Yes.
Yeah, because the possessive. Yeah.
Was wonderful.
Great.
And it was her first like full weekend on.
Great.
Which was great. And I also think I saw it like pretty soon after Sondheim passed too.
That doesn't surprise me. So you saw it post-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Not post. I mean, we were very much still in it when it opened. But
And so that was... I think it was literally like the week.
Was it in November? Do you remember?
Or somewhere.
Or early December?
Yeah. It was somewhere in there. And I just remember the announcement that Patti LuPone was not going to be on.
Did people groan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so tough. I saw it.
Well, everyone applauded except for like four or five people around me.
Oh, okay.
And there were these two older people, and they were like, they were so mad. They were so upset.
Mm-hmm.
And in my brain, I was like, it's the same show. I mean, I know it's Patti LuPone, but it's still the same show. Like, there's no difference. But anyway, that was my first time seeing anything Sondheim. And I didn't understand it. And I think it's just because I was 22.
Sure.
And I
played Bobby twice. I'm 24. I played my senior year of high school and my freshman year of college. I played Bobby.
They did Company in high school?
It was a youth theater community company. But it wasn't like my high school putting it on.
Right.
But Company's, I think, just brilliant. I love it so much.
Well, it's a wonderful show. I don't know if I liked this revival.
You didn't like the revival. I thought it was, I think because I knew it so well, I just appreciated any sort of newness to it.
I liked the idea of it. Like, mm-hmm. I liked, like, in my brain, I was like, wow, this is very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart.
But
I didn't love the whole Alice in Wonderland kind of like...
Oh, you didn't?
...key thing. And it literally scared me when Katrina was like... When the thing was really going down, I was like, she's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
But my thing was like, you can't like switch some characters, but then not switch others. But then you can't switch most of the characters' genders because then it's not any different. Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is such a hot take. Do you realize how hot of a take this is?
Probably.
This
I'm
is a hot take.
Sure that it is.
Because, I mean... The obviously a lot of genders switched, and even when they were still straight couples, a lot of the dialogue switched. So
right,
it was like, you know, the wife's dialogue went to the husband and vice versa. And I thought it was such a great way to be like, well, how does this show live today?
Now,
like,
I'm sure it's very progressive.
It's not a period piece
anymore.
Cause you know, a lot of, they changed some lyrics and you know, it's all text you and explain as opposed to my service will explain. That's right, like such a, you know, it definitely takes place now, which I appreciated. That's so funny. Cause I think I know the original, like the back of my hand, like I was so down, was game for anything.
See, and I didn't that like, I
was, so that was your first introduction.
That was my first introduction. Yeah. And the other thing is I didn't even listen to the West End soundtrack. You just didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So it's like walking into like Hamilton and not having listened to the music. You're literally that's like, tough. What are the words it's like, that you
oh my God,
right,
I feel so overwhelmed. Yeah.
It was a lot. And I think my biggest complaint, which really is so small, is that when they did a couple hundred people.
Another hundred people. A couple hundred people.
Isn't that the one with the like LED? Like,
yeah, the company became
and
NYC.
They spelled company once and then the rest were just like really random letters. And then they finally got to NYC. And I was like, I feel like you could have done something else with these letters.
Really?
Yes, it felt like alphabet soup. Like,
oh my God, because it kind of was. So it kind of was alphabet soup. For a lot of it, it was.
And it felt like that song went on for an hour.
Well, that's what everyone thinks when they see another 100 people. My parents, I remember seeing, they obviously saw the show when I was in it both times. And they're always like, God, that song. They don't. I think it's amazing.
It just, I love
but it,
like
because,
the patter of it, and I love the sound of it.
Yeah,
but
there's so many mini scenes in that song, so it feels like it actually is a very long song, including the scenes with all the boyfriends.
But
or
I will say one of my favorite scenes was the time lapse scene. It's what I call it.
Oh yeah, which is often referred to in the very original production. There was something called TikTok, which sort of what it's paying homage to.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, in it's very unique way. Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved that. I thought that was so smart.
Very smart. Seeing Patti LuPone like poop on a toilet was pretty remarkable.
And
yeah.
Then Jennifer
Simard
is amazing. Just like
Tony nominee.
Amazing. Yeah. Incredible. She was so great. She's amazing. And then Katrina Lenk singing Being Alive on like a blank stage.
Yeah.
Was
kind
of amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could have seen it one more time. I only saw it that once. And then it closed when it, I think, should have closed, but I still thought it was too soon. I think, you know, they didn't want to do what they did with Into the Woods and just replace with stars. I mean, I would have loved to see Christine Baranski be, you know, replace Patti LuPone. I would have loved to see Sarah Bareilles as Bobby. I would have, you know, I just thought there was maybe some more to be, you know, juiced out of that production, especially considering there's not going to be a tour of it, at least not in my knowledge, not to my knowledge. So I'm like, oh, would that production just over? Like, I always feel kind of sad.
Would that version of that production,
it would be impossible to tour.
Yeah, I was
because
gonna
of
say
the set.
That wouldn't work.
So it sucks
well.
Because it probably would have toured if it weren't so technically, you know, impressive. Mm-hmm. So it just makes me a little sad because I'm like, oh, that production. And then who
oh
knows
God,
when
and
we're
then
gonna
Matt
see?
Matt Doyle is.
Yeah, I
Tony
mean
Award
Tony
winner.
Winner Matt Doyle. I just saw him at Equinox. I was like, hi. We never met in person, but I guess we know of each other. So I was like, hi, Matt.
That's amazing. That's the weirdest. Here's a total like segue. I think that's the weirdest thing now with social media.
Oh, yeah. Being like,
Into the Woods was our first time meeting.
Oh, yeah.
But we had spoken before. But like,
no, we met at that.
Oh, I guess we met
the
at the
Audible
good,
event.
Yeah. Good Enemy. Is
good Enemy.
Called. But
yeah.
Like my friend Hailey, who's headshots.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
who popped up. Yeah.
We've known each other since the start of the pandemic.
Oh, got it.
Through TikTok. But we didn't meet until last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort
and
of the
it was
future, right?
The weirdest.
I've known, thing to I me. Like know some people on social media that I haven't met before. I've only met, you know, a couple times. But like, I actually recently attended a wedding of two friends that I made via TikTok. And our physical time spent together isn't very large. So when I got the invitation in the mail, I was like so honored. And being like, because I feel the same way about them. I'm like, I love you guys. I feel like I know you guys so well. And I love that you're getting married. And I would obviously go if you invited me. But to get the invite back, I was like, God, I guess this is the future. Like, just because we haven't been in a physical space together for very long doesn't mean I wouldn't be invited to their wedding.
Well, and my equivalent to that is like when I'm on Instagram and I'm watching people's stories. And then all of a sudden I realize that I'm on someone's private close friend's story.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
really? Me?
Me? We've never met in person before, but I'm on your close friend story. I feel very special.
Very special.
But that also might be just where I put my close friends because I'm very specific with
about, you know, who you
on
put on
friends,
that close friends.
Because I don't post on there much, but like,
no,
when I
but
do,
it's
like,
it's usually if I'm having a bad day or like, so I'm like, I don't want everyone to see that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I always find that really interesting. There are people that I'm like,
it's pretty crazy.
I did not know that you saw me that way.
This
I feel
world.
Very
like honored.
It's the future. It's the future, baby. It is pretty wild. I mean, just this whole social media thing. I'll never get over it. I think it is the craziest. It's changed my life so much. I met some of my best friends through it. I probably wouldn't have, you know, moved to New York as fast as I did if it weren't for, you know, the TikTok of it all. So very grateful for it, but also it's terrifying. And
I've been introduced to a lot of people just through.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of today. I mean,
social media, I've had people be like, will you come and do this reading? And I'm like, I don't live in New York City. Sorry.
Oh, sure.
I can't.
You're like, sorry.
That for you, but I would if I
mean,
could.
But how great is that? I mean, it's, or being invited to, you know, shows for free. Like that was some of the best things that's ever come from the TikTok. Being like, oh like you're sort of an influencer. Do you want to just come and maybe, you know, hopefully you'll post about it? And I'm like, I would definitely come. So it's been a very special and something I'm really, you know, something I really don't take for granted. I think it is the coolest thing. And I'm here. I haven't been here for like 6 months even yet.
You and I moved at the same time.
Oh, in October 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and, but well, that's what I love about this city is that you kind of really have to hit the ground running, like no matter where you are.
Okay. Anyway, into the woods.
Oh my God. That's what we were talking about. I have seriously, what is going on? I'm like the tangents.
Welcome
were,
to first off my brain and second off, literally this podcast,
the podcast. This the is how, this is how it normally goes. I swear I'm not like the messiest episode you've ever had.
This is literally how it goes.
Okay.
Because the actual like summary, if you like look at it on Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast, it literally says, "Welcome to the podcast with no rhyme or reason."
Yeah. We're great. Okay. So that's like what it is.
We're here to sit, sip, and spill the MT.
Okay. Spill the MT. Very, very cute.
I didn't. That was not my creation. There's someone on TikTok that uses that term,
and you're like, "Well,
forgotten
I'll be
his name," but he actually does a music theory of. That's why he calls it the MT.
Oh, cute.
It's lovely. I actually love listening to him.
Oh,
I want to say his name is Brett or something.
That sounds familiar. Because I'm on the app famously. No, but Into the Woods, I am. I just think that production, such a success. And, it, you know, considering that's all of its extensions and how much that show means to people, you know, how emotional people get when they see it. I'm just so glad it had its moment because I think before the pandemic, everyone was getting really sick of that show. I remember being like, okay, we need to shelve Into the Woods. Everyone's like, there's been too many because the movie came out and then there was the subsequent, like everyone was doing it. Then there was the Hollywood Bowl production. And I think people were just getting kind of fed up with Into the Woods. And then the pandemic happened. And then of course we come back and you're like, what do you want to see? It's like the stories that, you know, mean the most
into
to you.
The woods.
And I am so glad that, you know, that City Center decided to do it and they're programming and that it, you know, was as successful as it was. I think it was a really smart model for a production, like a production that doesn't take a lot of, you know, it's not super, you know, spectacly involved so that, you know, you can sub out these Broadway icons and they most likely have done the show before or know it really well. And they can
Katie having done Little Red
like three
times.
It's hilarious, but of course she has. Right. So
and she's amazing.
And she's incredible.
Also, so is Julia Lester.
Oh, both of them.
Julia Lester.
Oh my God. I love her. Know. Sorry, Julia. I'm so sorry.
She was great.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, so it's Julia Lester. That sounds right. My final answer is Julia. Julia Lester. Not Julie.
What? It's Julia.
Julia. Okay, we got it. We got it. Julie just didn't sound right as I kept saying it. But no, the production, I'm a huge fan of that show. I think it's amazing. I think Gavin Creel completely chewed the scenery. I think he was just so brilliant in what he was able to find. One of the things that I've never seen in Into the Woods before this production that seems so obvious. And I apologize if someone listening is like, but I did that when I played Cinderella's Prince. Like, sorry, I just didn't see your production. But when in the end of Act One, when it's like, look at the blood there in the shoe. And then he's like, ooh, ooh, and like gags because he's seeing blood. And then in Agony Reprise, he's like, it's my thing about blood. And I'm like, wait, it's in the script
that he
can't really deal with the sight of blood. So even one prick is my thing about blood. So I'm like, if he's seeing blood in a shoe twice, there's such opportunity for comedy because it's like, ooh, oh my God, gross, there's blood. And I'd never in my days seen a prince actually take advantage of that. And he just, among many other choices he made, just nailed
it. The comedy
What are the funnier Into the Woods
is like, well, and this, so this must be my thing with Sondheim, because this is my second mm-hmm. Sondheim thing. I'm probably going to go see the Sweeney Todd.
Probably. Revival. You have to see it. I'm seeing the first preview.
I haven't bought a ticket yet.
It was a gift. I didn't buy those tickets.
I really don't want to pay for a ticket. I guess my thing with like Sondheim stuff is I just don't do any research before. I just like walk into it. Okay.
I mean, which you shouldn't be expected. The best way to I mean, you definitely it's what a treat to see a live production first.
Yeah.
I think that's a win, and then you get to really make your opinion, and then as you get to know it more, perhaps appreciate it more. But if you see something and you don't like it the first time around, that's also important for you to
right.
note.
And so I walked into End of the Woods knowing, okay, these are our favorite fairy tales.
Sure.
I know that it's Sondheim. I have heard actually none of the music until the whole audition thing was going on. And even still, I like just didn't know the show. Like, it just wasn't a show. And even if I had heard it, I probably wouldn't have. Was like not clicking or, you know, I wasn't noticing it. And so going to see it, I was like, oh, wow. So I saw the original.
Yeah.
Version of it, the original Broadway cast, I'm sure, revival Broadway cast.
Yeah.
And then I just kept seeing it. And then I saw Stephanie J. Bock's first night.
Yeah.
And like the whole new.
Yeah.
Like half the cast was replaced. Yeah. And then I saw it a few times after that. And it's become my favorite Sondheim show, not because it's one of the only ones that I've seen multiple times.
Yeah.
But it's also just like so, which I guess Sondheim is really good at this and making things relevant to, like, regardless of what year it is.
Yeah,
everything
no.
very,
because he goes right for the heart. I mean, he, what he's so brilliant at is putting words to, you know, phenomena. One glass of wine. I think he understands the human condition so well.
Yeah,
and despite his specificity of where, you know, his shows take place, about, you know, the world in which a song is sung, like when you hear the lyrics to Moments in the Woods, like, sure, she's talking about woods.
Right.
But if you listen to it and you listen to it as if it was W-O-U-L-D-S, like Moments in the What Ifs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you, that's the brilliant part of his work, is that it's specific, but in its deep specificity, you mm-hmm. find so many lessons. And I just can't say enough good things about it.
Well, and like, I've talked about this. This show is really the only show that I talk about on this podcast, because this is not a Sondheim podcast.
No.
However, it is called I'll Drink to That.
Yeah.
So,
which is, come on.
I feel like I have to say something.
You do.
At least say the name Sondheim.
Come on.
At least once
per episode. That's only fair.
But this is a show that we always talk about because everyone knows Into
It's a really
Woods.
Good equalizer.
It's a show that everyone kind of knows and everyone has opinions about. And I always talk about how, depending on who comes on, I'm like, we're in the age of the Little Red Jack moving into like Cinderella age, even though Cinderella is like the experiences that they're having, in mm-hmm. my opinion. And so I always talk about how, like, one of my favorite parts of this show is the second verse of No Things Now.
Yes.
Because you can take it as little as you want, because she's being swallowed by a wolf. Or you can also take it as like, he's literally telling her things about the world that no 8-year-old would ever know. Why would they know any of this information?
Yeah.
I also think it's really interesting when people are like, Little Red and the Wolf. It's like very sensual.
Well,
and
just
like,
in this production.
That's very interesting.
Like, it was, I think,
is.
Like, I think it was such a funny of, and it gave Little Red a little bit more agency.
Goodbye, Mr. Wolf.
Goodbye, Mr. Wolf. I think, and then he was like, what? There's this whole very funny moment where, you know, Gavin's like, what just happened? Like, that's kind of gross. I'm trying to eat her. And, but it goes to show, I mean, it's like Shakespeare. I mean, Sondheim, and there's a lot of parallels in his, you know, language, and how you are able to excavate so many new things based on, you know, the production. There's no, you know, of course there's the original piece, original productions of his work, but look at the John Doyle Company with Raul Esparza that is so different than the original production, but equally as successful, and found new things in the show. And I'm sure this Sweeney revival will find new things. And this
absolutely.
Merrily Roll Along revival that I've seen definitely found new things. You know, this is just, it's the best part of why we revive and why mm-hmm. we revisit stories. And with Into the Woods, we revisited those fairy tale. I mean, we it's so good to, as adults, you know, be like, oh, what was this story about? What was this trying to teach us?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And also I think that's why it works, because it's so universal, these stories.
Yeah. Genius. I think it's a genius concept.
The, you know, we were introduced to these characters as children.
Yeah.
And so as adults, even if you're watching it as a child, like Sondheim is something that you have to watch, which is what I'm doing with Company.
Yeah.
Actually, what I'm doing with Company is I'm not really going to touch Company until I'm of age of.
Oh
Bobby.
My God. Oh my God. Okay. Go for
so
it.
So my senior solo show, I didn't do juries or whatever, because I was literally like right in the middle of tech for Head Over Heels. And I was like, I'm playing Pamela and I refuse.
Yeah.
So I did my own solo show. And one of the songs I did was Being Alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced the song and I said, so this is Being Alive. We all know the song.
Yeah.
I am 22. Yeah. 21, I think, at the time. No, I was 22. And I was like, I will not be touching this again.
Yeah.
Until I am within the ages of 35 and 45. Okay. Area. And I legitimately have not sung it since.
Good.
Because there's something about like moving into that age, which I think is the same with Into the Woods, going from Little Red into singing Cinderella, into going into The Baker's Wife, into The Witch and The Mother.
Yeah.
Like that hierarchy of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word, but it kind of is. Of like learning where you are in your life. And so I'm still, in my opinion, in the like Little Red mixed with a little bit of Cinderella.
Yeah.
Age range. I guess Rapunzel too, but Rapunzel kind of has like,
yeah,
that beautiful floating melody, and then she doesn't get anything till Act Two.
True.
But that's like my favorite thing about the show is that not one person takes it the same way.
Yeah, I mean that's like,
and that's like Sondheim. That's just Sondheim
art.
In general,
I mean, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, what art that's worth seeing. Everyone's gonna, you know, take right. something else out of it, and I think that's really interesting how you're approaching the Company material. I think that's fascinating. Whereas I do the complete opposite. And I'm like, I want to know everything I can now. And then when I I go through, you know, phases of being obsessed with one of his shows in, you know, whatever. But, and then I revisit a show, even if it's 2 years later, like a show like Merrily We Roll Along that spans someone's age from us now until 20 years later. And we see this story go back in time. I think that's such a good show to constantly revisit, because you are the age of these characters and then you find yourself, oh wait, I'm not in, like, the last song of the show is the earliest time frame.
Right.
It's our time. So I discovered the show when I was 15, which is much closer to that age. And then now I'm more in the Opening Doors, which is the song that comes before it, you know, and it's cool to be able to grow with a show. And I think Into the Woods is a perfect example, because you're right. Like there's so many generations represented on that one stage, with both the women and men in that show. And I think
and
that's
cows.
Why it's become such
and
a
cows.
And cows. And I think that's why it's done so much, because everyone can get something out of it. And
it's a show you can use your imagination with.
You can do anything.
Because it's fairy tales, because like the Texas State, version of it.
Yes.
I've only seen random clips and videos of
it. Yeah,
like
that's a dancey Into the Woods.
And the costumes are really fun.
Oh my God, Texas State. I love that they record so many of their things, because that you can see them.
Well, and I was talking to a friend about it, and I was like, so they're basically in all white, and it kind of looks like they just like ripped up paper and made costumes is really what those costumes look like, which I actually love.
Yeah.
So it looks like a blank canvas to me. And what I thought, which obviously I didn't see the show, but what I've just seen pictures of it, but they sent out a video of like the finale piece, I think, or something like that. And they didn't do what I thought they were going to do. I am not a costume designer, but in my brain, the way I thought of it was, if I were to do something similar to this version of Into the Woods, which is very different to any Into the Woods that I've ever seen clips of, is putting all of the characters in white at the top of the show, whatever. Cream, white, whatever, kind of how they did
like
it.
Hamilton-y.
Yeah. And when they have their little solo piece where they're learning something about themselves or learning something about the world, you slowly start to add, that's when Little Red gets her cape. That's when Little Red gets her Little Red cape. like literally.
So she doesn't have that in the beginning of the show.
She kind of has it at the beginning of the show, but it's
one of the
like
items. I know. Hard. I'm not.
But
trying
it's
to
like, or it's like she doesn't have like ribbons in her hair.
Got it.
Or like you're adding something. You add every single scene.
So by the end of the show,
and so by the end of the show, you have this colorful, vibrant. You have the version of the show that we of this Broadway show that had colors galore. Yeah. But you start off with a very neutral base of things. And then as they're starting to learn things, that's when they're getting to see the color of the world.
And you're saying Texas State did not do that?
No, I don't think they did. I think really the only person who got to wear color was Little Red because she has to wear her red cape.
Or the hair. I mean, you like need
she had the hair. Yeah. But I think most of it was all pretty much white. I think it was like cream.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of interesting because then you get to highlight the four items. The cow is white. I mean, it's white as well. And then the cape, the hair, and the shoe get to be, you know, they get to pop. Yeah, that's cool. I've seen some amazing productions and I've heard some wild, like I had a few friends in my year. I didn't go to LaGuardia High School, but my friends that did go to LaGuardia did Into the Woods their senior year for their senior show. And that whole thing was like the show takes place in a bunker and there's like but like during like a bomb raid, and then like the giant is like mixed with sounds of like air raids, which was, you know, it's like so all very interesting, like because it was, I think, it was supposed to be an orphanage or something, and then I'm you know, totally
that's
paraphrasing.
So
anyone from LaGuardia is probably like, you're explaining this wrong, but and then the narrator was like a teacher, I don't even know the Miss Hannigan equivalent, but a nice one. That was like Once Upon a Time, like trying to calm these kids down.
Yeah,
more like a Miss Honey. That's a much better. Oh my goodness gracious. So yeah, I saw a production when I did a summer program at Northwestern in high school. They were doing a summer show, and it took place in like a library. And it was like brilliant. So like
that's why I love Sondheim, because Sondheim is equivalent to like Shakespeare in the sense that like the amount of Shakespeare shows that I've seen of the same production of Twelfth Night.
Oh, that's one that's done all the time. Yeah.
But it's completely different.
Oh, every single time I've seen Twelfth Night probably more than any other Shakespeare show.
It's
and
my favorite Shakespeare
it
show.
It is. Oh my God. Does it change every time you see it? And that's the joy. I mean, cause I just don't like when people say, like, I don't like Sondheim or I don't like the show. And I'm like, you probably saw a version of the show that didn't vibe with you. And that's okay. But, like, don't write off a show just because you didn't like one production of it. If someone's like, I don't like it, and I've really put in the work to try to get to know it and it doesn't appeal to me, I'm like, oh, my God, but go off. Like, have your opinion.
Right.
But so many people, especially in musical theater, make snap judgments about a show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I promise.
You probably just didn't like that vision. And that's
totally fine.
That's what art is. It's subjective.
But I just, like, you know, some things I'm like, I just think you didn't see the right version for you.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I love introducing people to versions I like. And they're like, wait, I love this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I knew you would.
There's a version of 12. I think the Globe has like three different versions of 12th Night on there.
Which 12th Night are you referring to?
The one that's like got disco in it.
Oh, that's not the one I thought you were going to say.
Oh, which one were you?
I thought you were going to say what is his face? He's such a brilliant actor. And he plays Olivia in the show. I want to say it might be an all-male production of the show. What is his name?
Is it like the more like traditional
he's wearing white makeup. And like
that
every
one
time
is also
walks,
very
like,
good.
Just, like, it looks like he's floating
across the stage. With the dress.
What is his name?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I'm going to kick myself because I will remember this name and I already forget what it is. Again, one glass of wine in. But no, exactly. And that's why I love
but
that.
But those are two completely different. We're literally
two completely
about the same
different.
Show.
Oh my God.
You just talked about white.
White
painted
face, like
makeup,
painted face,
old like 18th century, and I not 18th century, 16th century, and I am over here talking about disco.
Yeah, and that's and both can work. I just
but the
love
first
that.
Version of Twelfth Night, which is why I think I love Twelfth Night. The first version I saw was an
She's
all female cast. Oh my God, I actually had not seen She's the Man before.
You
this.
Hadn't seen She's
no,
the Man.
I saw She's the Man after this.
Oh wow,
but which is also a great movie. No, good. Maybe I had seen it. I just like
yeah, I didn't put
it. It didn't. Yeah. It wasn't like a show that a movie that I.
Yeah.
watched often, so yeah. it was not one that I connected as Twelfth Night, but I saw a version of Twelfth Night. It was an all-female cast.
Love.
Their company is called Chickspear.
Cool.
And I was 14, I think, when I saw this, and it was set in the 20s. It was set in the jazz
Great,
age.
Sure.
And I love
By all means.
Jazz.
Sure.
So everything was
the final like number, a jazz number.
They didn't really do, it wasn't like very singy. It was a bit, okay. It wasn't really singy. I mean, like there are songs in,
yes,
obviously the show. But the like Come Away Death,
sure,
song part was just this very pretty, like slow, sure, jazz kind of thing. And then instead of like waltzing, they did the Charleston. They learned the Charleston, yeah, together. And Olivia had a very like specific kind of thing. And they wrote music for the show, as, yeah, you as probably you usually do for Shakespeare. But it was really fun because when you walked in, like the pre-show music was like, you know, big, not big band, but it was kind of sort of like Ella Fitzgerald and yeah, that, you know, that kind of music. And I was like, this is,
that's fierce. Yeah.
Fun because I love jazz music. So it was it was like a wonderful like mesh of things. And I've seen a few different versions of Twelfth Night. I also saw, my friend was in a, what is it called? Like you go,
immersive.
God. Immersive. Yeah. That's the word. I was like, I know it starts with an I.
Yes.
And I wanted to say the word internal. Immersive. It was an immersive production and it was for children. It's a show that's going to tour like, cute, elementary schools.
Great.
And my only issue was you didn't really get the whole story, which is fine because kids don't really
that way
care. But it was, yeah, very more like, what is, there's one here. There's like a adult.
Sleep No More.
It's, I think it was very similar to that. I've not.
Oh my God. It is.
I've been told I should go.
I cannot believe you haven't gone yet. Well, you got to go. I haven't. It is ridiculous. It is so incredible. And it's been here. So I think a lot of people are like, it's here. But I like worry one day it's going to be like, we're closing.
Well, I did a mentorship.
Skyrocket.
I did a mentorship through Off the Lane. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but my mentor was in
great
that. So they were like, you should come and see the show.
It is so intense and amazing.
I think it'd be really fun. I love an immersive experience. But this 12th Night one was so interesting because you walk around and you can follow any character you want. You can follow Viola. You can follow, yeah, Sebastian if you can find him. You can follow, like, you know, it's kind of that
kind
of thing.
Were they speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So in what you'll see in Sleep No More is that it's more of a dance piece. There's no talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
They did.
But it is Macbeth. It is the story.
We're
not in a theater. I can say that.
There you go. Yeah. We're in my apartment. What, yeah, if I was like, there's actually a stage.
There's a stage downstairs of the Scottish play. Yeah.
But they did, like, you heard Viola's thing, you heard Olivia's monologue, but everything else was kind of
choose your own adventure.
Very choose your own adventure. They spoke like we do because,
oh,
you're also talking to elementary, yeah, kids, students is really what you're doing. And so they start the show off as like, we're going to a party.
Yeah.
What do you bring to a party? And it's like all of the kids saying like balloons.
Yeah.
Cake. And it's like they kind of like, as they do it, are writing it down and they talk about, yeah, it and it's referenced throughout the thing and they have, you know,
that's,
you
great,
have your jester and you have your, you know, Malvolio is over, yeah, here doing his thing and whatever, and you can follow them around. And so everyone got to choose. And then
that's,
you have
great,
Sebastian who's like sneaking around the whole entire time until,
oh, great,
you really meet Sebastian. But that was like the most different version of a Shakespeare anything that I've,
yeah,
ever seen in my life.
Sleep, you got to see Sleep No More.
I'll have to go.
So that will be the most different version you've seen. It is cuckoo. I love it so much. It is remarkable.
I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, because I mean, it's, oh my God, it's a staple. It's just the McKittrick Hotel. It is so vast and you just want to go back and back because you're like, I didn't see everything.
Is it different every time or is it?
No, but.
Oh, well, it's different if you go to like,
yeah,
see a different thing.
It's so intricate and you're following people. It's also like 20Z.
Okay.
And you're following people around. And so sure, there's like the characters you can sort of be like, oh, that's, I guess, like Macduff. I guess that's definitely Lady Macbeth. That's Macbeth. But then it's all these side characters, a nurse, a bubble, like all the, you know, it's, so you go and you go up levels. It's the,
oh, wow,
it is so, you cannot possibly see it all in an evenings, which is so fun because you get to go back occasionally, like, a character will grab you and like take you into a special place and you have like an individual experience. It's,
oh,
pretty
fun.
Remarkable. It is. It's such a fun.
Jess, do you want water now that I'm like sipping?
No, I'm great. How much longer are we doing this?
However long.
Are you
we
serious?
Can literally end whenever.
Oh my. Because I was like, hasn't it been like a million years?
It's been 2 hours.
It's been two
we
hours.
Get here. Four.
I get here at four.
Well, it's been like an hour and a half.
An hour and a half.
I can actually tell you how long.
Yeah, how long
recording.
Have we been recording?
An hour and 44 minutes.
An hour and 44 minutes. I mean, like, there's no
what
way
I'm
people are going to listen.
No,
this long.
What I'm actually probably going to do is, all of the Sondheim stuff,
uh-huh,
is going to be in one episode.
You know, you just look at your phone. You're like, why are so many people texting me? Did I post something embarrassing online? They're
it's
so low because it's closing. Okay, I was like going to maybe see Merrily Roll Along Again tomorrow, but I can't. Let's go. I guess I'm seeing Hamilton tomorrow instead. This is literally the texts very in real time.
I wanted to see Merrily.
It's you have to pay for a ticket or go in the cancellation line. It is sold out. You have to go in the cancellation line is how you're going to get a ticket.
Well, because I was told that I really need to see it in this space. That it's in because it's so small and intimate.
Yeah, it is transferring with the same cast. So if you can't, you can't. But it is really cool seeing it because you're like, I cannot believe that all these stars are on this stage playing for, and there's no bad seat in New York Theater Workshop because every seat is right there.
Right?
So it is pretty remarkable.
Well, I'm friends with Leanna, and so I would love to see her. But I am also if anyone's listening, I'm jobless. I don't have a job.
Oh, love it.
So if anyone wants to hire me so I can actually make money to go and see these shows, that would be, I see. So
it's hard to make money and see shows. I mean, people will give you tickets for free, which is great, but
I'm fine with that.
To make money doing it is a
No, I don't
need
to make money. I just need to make money somehow to pay for tickets.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Got it. I'm like, I don't know if you can get paid to see shows.
No,
yeah.
Currently I am like spending and
yeah,
I'm not
hemorrhaging money
anything.
And not receiving. Yeah, just so, we're at a deficit.
Yeah, which is so funny because I've applied to Anthropology 3 times and they've denied me all 3 times.
Anthropology?
Mm-hmm.
Love that store. One of my favorite lamps I own is from Anthropology.
I think it's truly because at Anthropology, I think you have to wear the clothes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm too short for most of
it. Is that really? Oh my God, that's
like seriously, because they don't have petite, really.
Yeah.
So I can't wear most of the clothes and I feel like part of it is like, them being like, oh, you're 5'1". I don't...
To apply 3 times.
In different places, too.
Different locations.
Chicago, here.
Maybe one day. One day you're going to get that job.
It's one day. I also applied to Madewell. Because jeans.
Jeans rock.
I love jeans.
Yeah.
But I would love to do Broadway marketing.
I mean,
Broadway
it's happening.
PR, Broadway... I've applied to 2 different places. Did not get either of them.
It's okay. It's
for
a
social media marketing.
Fierce. It's a fierce, you know.
I don't have any like background in marketing. I've just been doing this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Years.
It's tough because, you know, some people.
There are people that are much
PR
more qualified than I am.
That shit. But yeah, you just have to like rock an interview. You'll get a job.
Okay, so this is so awkward because when we were recording this, I mean, I obviously stated that I was going to split this into 2 podcasts, but I didn't think about the fact that I needed to end 2 separate ways. So there's no ending. That's it. That's it for the Sondheim section. And I also apologize if you ended up listening to something that was on the other podcast, because like this podcast is, we jump around like crazy and there's no rhyme or reason. There's not supposed to be. That's the whole point. So sorry if you heard some repeats, but most of this is either Sondheim or Shakespeare. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed. I love talking about Sondheim with Tyler, and I wish I was a little more versed in it because maybe it would be a little bit more interesting. But I hope you enjoyed. If you want to follow Tyler, you can follow him at Tyler Joseph Ellis, I think. Wait, let me make sure that's correct. Give me 2 seconds. Yes, Tyler Joseph Ellis, at Tyler Joseph Ellis on TikTok and Instagram. And that's it. That's it for this podcast. Hope you enjoyed, again, part 2 of I'll Drink to That with Tyler Joseph Ellis.